All right, welcome to the Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association board meeting for March. Glad to see everybody on. Welcome. Just so you know, we had an executive meeting just prior to this meeting. And so we've had some discussion. We already opened with a prayer, and we'll get going through this meeting. Hope everybody's doing well. I don't know about you guys, but it's snowing here earlier in St. George, so it's a little bit odd as far as weather goes. But let's go ahead and get started with our meeting. I will just indicate that in our executive meeting that just finished, we reorganized a little bit, and although I'll be conducting today, Mike McNichol was elected to be the new president of Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association. And so beginning next meeting, then we'll have a new person at the helm. And I think he's the right guy to take things moving forward. Mariah, you're on mute. Do you want to jump on and get us started on the agenda since you have it in front of you?
Yes, I've gone through and I think I've collected everybody's names from your screens. Thank you. There are a couple people. There's a individual who's called in. So if we could just complete roll call with the individual who is called in by phone, if you could let us know who you are, please.
Marco Parado.
Thank you. And one other with the phone number 480-276-9316, please. Unmuting is sometimes a trick. So we'll go with that and I'll do a search. Okay, with that in mind, then I think I have a complete roll call. So the next item on the agenda would be Kathy reviewing the January 2021 meeting minutes and presenting those for
approval. We sent them out previous, yeah, and I approve them. Did anybody have any questions that are on the board? Or even, I guess, members? Anybody have any questions?
I had a chance to look through them. I don't have any corrections. I think they're accurate as far as reporting what was discussed and what happened. Anybody else have any objections, insertions, deletions, questions? Nope.
Okay, I propose we pass them.
All right.
Second?
Let's just I'll second it. Anybody opposed to accepting the meeting minutes from our January meeting? Doesn't look like it. So those pass and are adopted.
Okay, our next item then would be our treasurer report followed by the office report.
Joe, you got something to tell us?
We're looking pretty good. We've got about 73% of our dues are paid. The checking account's got $130,843 in it. And the savings, we've got $61,150. And the other savings has got $4,267. And to my knowledge, we don't have any problems other than the Kubota hasn't come back. I don't know what the bill is going to be on that. So we're up and running and good.
Can anybody tell us what the status of the Kubota is and what they found or what's going on?
I talked to him yesterday. They have got it in and broken down and torn apart, found that the leak is not between the motor and the transmission, but between the transmission and the axle, and so had to break that part apart and had not been able to get it to disconnect, and were afraid there was something else they were missing connecting it. So they were still working on that and didn't have an idea price-wise what it was going to be until they actually find out which seal is leaking. But at least it's underway.
Have we had any issues with snow removal and that kind of stuff without the Kubota?
Brent said it was pretty difficult without it, so we need it back as soon as possible, is what he said.
Okay. Well, Larry, do you mind following up with them and getting some kind of time frame as to how soon they might get through that?
Yeah, I'll check and see what, if they were trying to get it broken down yesterday, and I didn't follow up yesterday or today to find out if they in fact got into it or not, but I will find out.
We have about a foot on the ground right now.
Did you guys get more snow today?
Yes. Yeah.
That's good. We need it. Okay, great. Any questions for Joe as treasurer and his treasurer report? Doesn't look like it. Mariah, turn time over to you for your office report.
Okay, well, cabin reservations are coming in quite well. I think we have Garden Cabin, Cabin One, several of our big cabins booked through Memorial Day weekend all the way through the first part of August. So we've got a healthy cabin season coming up ahead of us. We've had a few new members join the ranch, so that's an exciting thing, and a lot of buying and selling going on. I'm staying busy keeping track of all the title records going back and forth and back and forth. So it's a nice time to meet some new friends. The only other option I have is a proposal that I sent to the board ahead of time. As Vance and I have been working with the website, we've determined that we have a website that is technologically kind of in the dark ages, and we had to do a recent migration with the website over to a new platform in order for it to function better and more properly. And with that, it became very apparent that we would need a new website. So I've sent a proposal to the board ahead of time. I've done a little bit of legwork ahead of time, and I'd like to take just a second to show what I feel like would be a new great option for a website rebuild and reorganization. I'm keeping everything that we have, but maybe adding a few more features and giving it a fresh look. So I'm going to share my screen right now so that you can take a look at this. So that should come up in just a second.
It's up.
Okay, good. On your screen, you'll see that I've created a basic new foundation for a website. Of course, there's definitely some things that need to be updated. And Kathy, I apologize in advance as I scroll down here. There's some pictures that need to be adjusted. And you'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. Anyway, as I've gone through, I feel like the website is a great place for our members to connect. It's a great place to provide information about the ranch. And so perhaps a slight reorganization of this presentation would be in order. So as you can see on this place, we've got plenty of options for video, photography. And then, Kathy, here's where I apologize. I thought you would maybe not appreciate having your face quite so large on the page. We'll get that.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
It's a beautiful face, though, so it does well. But anyway, an opportunity for those who are actually doing the buying and selling and the representing of the ranch to have a spot at the bottom of our homepage. So going back to the top here, as you'll notice, board of directors, we'd have the option to have a page where we can meet our board of directors and have links to our board meetings and all of our audio files and our financial reports and so on and so forth. I've created our ranch codes of conduct, which will have all of the files easily printable. And then our member services would be our most in-depth section where we'd transfer everything over and be able to provide all of the services that we do now. But with a fresh new look, this is all tentative. It's all preparatory. It's just the beginning stages. But felt like that this would be a great opportunity to freshen up a bit. So one other feature that we've talked about adding to our website we don't have right now is our Hall of Fame page, a place where we can honor those members who are providing the ranch services that need to be mentioned, that need the honorable mention, and so that this would be a great place to mention those members. So with that in mind, I've created a website before. It's been up and running for about 7 years. I feel competent and capable of doing this, so my proposal to the board was to consider hiring me to develop the website. I am requesting $1,000 to develop the website with a deposit now, and the remainder upon the completion of the website and the transfer over. And then I would ask a $40 a month increase to my current contract in order to provide me a stipend for the maintenance and the managing of the website as we transition over. If for some reason the board decided at no fault of mine to not pursue the website during its creation, I would ask that I would still receive the compensation for my efforts in creating the website. But hopefully, I have my fingers crossed, we'd get to go clear to the end and have the new website created, featuring photos from our members and all of those things. So that would be the only other item I have. And board, I know I've already approached you about this, so I'm definitely willing if you'd like to take some time to consider it further before you make a motion, but I'd like to put that on the table.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask this, if you don't mind, Mariah. Remind me, just and also to share with the member, what was the total cost for you to set up and create the website?
So there's no cost to set up the website. There is a fee in order to transfer, and it gets a little bit complicated, but right now the way our website is set up, it's under a cPanel system, which requires certain security systems and all of those things, which we've just renewed for the 5 years. Because we're creating a new website, this new website would also have to have all those fees, so I've already gone ahead and called GoDaddy and put a placeholder to have a transfer of those fees come over with the new website. So essentially we've saved about $500 just by that phone call. So there's no fee to transfer over. There may be some fees for some additional plug-in items that we may or may not have to utilize depending on how the cabin reservation pages transfer over. If we can link them in as they are now, then we would not be looking at fees. However, if the new website can't read all of that coding and we have to rebuild that whole section, then there could be some plugins that we would have to purchase. Again, I do not think those will be expensive. They're meant to be affordable, but I don't have a price at this time.
But are the additional costs for you, I thought you said there's $1,000 that you needed. Is that the total cost for you to set everything up?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, I don't know about anybody else. Are there any questions? I'm ready to make a decision on this because I think our current website is a dinosaur. And the longer we wait, the more difficult it's going to be to catch up with the times. So any questions or comments before we move forward on this item?
What do we pay currently for our monthly hosting or and I wondered if maybe Vance could
I don't know what's wrong with this thing.
Make some comments.
I'll look up the cost right now while Vance gives an answer. Give me just 1 minute.
It's just so you know, Larry, I know it's we pay it annually. And as far as the hosting fee that we pay for having it hosted, we're changing that anyway because we wanted to upgrade the hosting, but it's a few hundred dollars a year that we pay. I don't remember the exact amount, but it's not much. And we're going to have to pay that either way unless we cancel the website altogether.
Right.
So we've just paid $1,700, but that's for 5 years.
Any input, Vance? You're the guru on this stuff. What do you think?
So she's a bargain at $1,000, but I'm dividing out the $1,700 because somebody asked that question. $1,700 divided by 60 months, which is 5 years, is $28.33 a month, Larry.
So. Okay.
So that's pretty cheap. And the more you buy with GoDaddy, the longer you can go, the better the deal you get. So we've been working for 3 or 4 years now to try to get our various products with them synced up so they renew all at once so we can get the best deal. And it's been a bit of a struggle, but we finally have most of that all happening at once. And when you can do that, you can really twist their arms for better pricing. As far as what Mariah is asking, she's a deal. You know, web developers start. At $75 an hour, plus or minus. And, you know, so if we paid somebody else, we'd be into a new website for 3 or 4 times what she's asking. And it would probably cost more because, and here's the one of the best things, is she knows who we are. She knows how we operate. We aren't going to have constant back and forth questions with like we would with somebody who doesn't know anything about us. It'll make it much more efficient, which will make it cheaper in the long run.
I agree. I saw on her proposal she had mentioned Craig Baird, who I know well, and I know his pricing, and I believe he's fair, but way over what she's proposing to charge us, and so I'm in favor of going with it. I don't know if anybody else wants to continue to discuss or if we want to.
I don't see anybody that necessarily has anything else to add, so I'm looking for a motion to approve or to table the matter of Mariah creating a new website.
I motion to approve it.
Anybody second?
I second it.
Okay. We got Mike with the second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that passes. Let's move forward. And I understand that we have money in the budget to do that already calculated in. It will have to be adjusted next year, but I'll leave that up to you guys to figure out. Okay, what's next, Mariah?
Okay, we've got our property management report is next.
Kurt, you ready?
You got to unmute, Kurt.
He looks frozen.
Are you there? We're talking to you.
we're ready for your report.
Got him on mute. There he is.
All right.
I think he's frozen.
Yeah.
Looks to me like he's working hard. I don't know.
He's probably covered in snow.
Kurt, if you can hear me, you look like you're frozen, so we're going to take up another item while we're waiting for you to connect back in. Is that okay?
Dan, can you hear me?
Oh yeah. I can hear you now.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I am unmuted.
You might want to, since you have a little bandwidth, you might have to turn off your video and just talk to us. Oh, there you are. You're good.
Can you guys hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you, Kurt.
I'm frozen. No internet.
This is John. Do you hear me? It's on for a minute. Now he's gone.
Yeah. Kurt, we're ready for your manager report.
You can hear me?
Yes. There must be a delay.
It's probably the heavy snow.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear Kurt?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Okay, so.
Can he hear us?
Oh, he's gone.
This is Kurt. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep, we can hear you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hey, Kurt,
yeah,
we can hear you.
Yeah, like days.
Right,
let's give the report.
Can you hear me good?
Yeah.
What? I'm here. I just don't have a hello.
We can hear you, Kurt.
Cabin 6 is progressing. If drywall is completed, taping needs to be done. And it's snowing. The roads are extremely muddy. If I tried to plow with the backhoe, it's not even getting cold enough at night, really. It's still soft out there. Okay, good. Did you get that?
Yep, so far. Anything else?
Hello?
Yes, we got that.
Yeah, that's it. my internet connection is unstable.
Okay, well, we may come back to you with some questions, okay. Kurt, so just hang on. Sometimes it helps if you just do the audio without the video. It'll take up less bandwidth. All right.
Okay, my video is off.
Yeah, and we can hear you. We can hear you. It sounds like you've made your report. Anything else you want to add?
No.
All right. Let's move on with the next item on the agenda, and if we need Kurt to answer some questions, we'll have to wait for a while for his answer. Just to report on number 6, this is related to the Owners Association acceptance of the proposal from the BLM to exchange fees. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, we pay certain fees to the BLM to be able to use BLM roads. They suspended those payments in 2014 because of an agreement that was made which expired, and we pay them and they pay us Owners Association fees for 2 lots. They proposed that we waive those fees, since if they don't, then they would pay us $1,000 a year and we'd be paying them $2,000 a year. They proposed that we swap fees, and since that saves us $1,000 a year, I thought it was a good idea, and I think I got feedback from all the board members through email. Mm-hmm. But I want to formally acknowledge that and ratify that agreement. So all board members in favor of doing that, please indicate or say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
Is there a time limit, or is this a 1 year, 5 years, forever?
When I talked to them about that, I told them we wanted to make it forever, but they didn't put that. They weren't willing to put that in their document. It basically, they led me to believe that at a minimum, it's good from 5 to 10 years from now. But they weren't willing to say yes, we'll do it forever, because with them, budgets come and go, and so. No. The answer to the question is the document does not have a time limit as to how good it is, but I think we're willing to accept it, and since it's in our benefit, as long as they're willing to live with it.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
So when it who decides when it comes due, and how do we find out about
That's
it?
That's right.
They just like this time, they approached us and said, by the way, the old agreement has expired, and we need to redo it. So
okay. As long as we don't fall off a cliff, because we have on these a couple times in the past, not recently, but in the past. And you know, they were okay with it. It's like, oh yeah, well, you know, you guys are sort of a .org, we get it, and you know, you're not really on top of things all the time, so we're fine with that. But you know, we don't want to wake up with get a letter, a nasty gram that says, oh yeah, well, this expired a year ago, and by the way, here's the late fees.
Well, I don't think that's possible, because if they contact us and say expired a year ago and here's the bill, then we send them a copy of the agreement that we have that says we're going to exchange fees. So I think we're safe. I don't think that they can ding us, and they have to let us know if they decide that they want to terminate this agreement we have. So
okay, all right. Well, you've looked at it more than I have, but some of the Title Fives that we had, I mean, they fell through the cracks. Larry probably remembers that.
Well, and again, I would have loved to have them put in the agreement that this is good in perpetuity, but unfortunately. The guys making the decisions didn't want to put their name on an agreement that might turn around and bite them in 20 years. So anyway.
Okay. Good enough. Thank you.
All right. Next item on the agenda is Jeff's proposal related to the water operator fee fee job. Jeff, do you want to tell us anything more about it? We've discussed it a little bit in based on talking before our last meeting and again this meeting, so I think we have a response for you, unless you have something else you want to add. You're on mute, just so you know. I see your lips moving, but nothing's coming out.
How about now?
Perfect.
In 2020, I expended a total of 120.95 hours doing the tasks required for the water operator for the ranch, and was paid $75 a month, which equated to $6.82 an hour. That didn't include any of the training or conference attendance or travel to and from the ranch. And so I just felt that at the end of 2020, I was paying the ranch to do the job. So I felt it would be better if we came to an agreement on something that would be more beneficial to both parties. I assume the board has had a chance to review the proposal I sent.
Yes. Yeah, we looked through it, and unless somebody else wants to jump in, I'm happy to discuss kind of where we came to and what we're willing to counter propose.
All right.
Anybody want to jump in? Didn't think so. All right.
Barry, you're doing a great job.
I appreciate, and the board appreciates you putting together the proposal and outlining everything that you have been doing, and we want to make sure that you understand we appreciate what's happened so far. Mm-hmm. However, the proposal included a few things that I think are aspirational in the future and may be part of it, but we would like to limit the scope of what you're doing and pay you less. Not less than what you have been, but less than what you propose. So what we've talked about is we understand going up, we understand the expense of testing, we understand that there are other components that can be added as far as cross connections and drainage and those kind of things, but we would like to limit the scope of what you do to obviously continuing your once a year training and testing to remain certified. And then we would like to continue to, with you or someone from the ranch, doing the monthly testing, which doesn't necessarily require you physically to take the water sample. So we're looking at one trip a month to the ranch. And in exchange for that, we would propose that we reimburse you for last year's training, the actual class and test cost. And then this year's training, which you completed, I assume you passed the renewals.
Yes.
And so we would reimburse you for this year's class and testing. And then in addition to that, we would raise your monthly pay from February till next February to $200 a month to be able to do the testing. If we, and I know your proposal included stuff related to other springs and other water sources, if we decide to do something more on those additional water sources, that would be subject to a different agreement, and we would say we want to do this and what's it going to cost to do that. But for right now, we're only interested in, well, we're not only interested. We would limit the responsibility to monthly testing of the lower water system as necessary and the upper water system for the investigation samples and move forward on that basis. Does that make sense?
Yep. Just for your information, that a new law was passed by the Division of Drinking Water, went into effect January 1st, 2019. It now defines that it's required to have adequate staff for cross-connection control and backflow prevention. All community water systems shall have a certified cross-connection control program administrator by December 31st, 2020. So the state's now requiring this extra cross-connection control certification. So I'm going to have to mull this over and get back with you and basically put some costs to this.
Yeah, and, all right? and we've had a chance to think about it and talk about it. I wouldn't expect you to have an answer ready to go right now. Well, the last time I talked to the people at the Southwest Utah Health Department and their counterpart at the state, they said that we were exempt from that. Although we had to do some posting and training at our annual meeting on cross-connection, we didn't have to have somebody certified. But that was probably a year and a half ago. So if something's changed, we need to be aware of it.
Well, that's why this annual training is good, so that we know what's coming at us.
Yeah. Well, why don't you think about it, and then if you wouldn't mind submitting a response to the board, either in writing or attend the next meeting whenever we get to the point where we have it set, then we can get this resolved. And again, we want to make sure you understand we appreciate what you've done. We're not trying to cut you off at the knees, but we have budgets to deal with and trying to make it work.
Understood.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Let's go to Lot DSROA Lot 1 Water Easement Proposal Review. Let's see. Clint, are you there?
Yes. Clint?
Yes, I'm here.
Do you want to say something before I kind of summarize where we're at and tell you kind of what we're thinking as far as the board goes?
I don't have anything to say. I'm just here to answer any questions if you have any, if I can answer them, and kind of see what's going on. So
to catch everybody up as to what the issue is and what we're trying to resolve. It came up related to Lot 1, but it really has to do with the entire Podunk area. Several years ago, and I don't know the history, Larry knows better than I do, and well, some of you know better than I do, including Larry, but there have been water lines that have been run across Lot 1 from water source down into the Podunk area. Those lines have been there in excess of 20 years. Therefore, the lines basically qualify for what's called a prescriptive easement. When the Curtises obtained the lot from Valcram, or the Valcram estate, which they're part of, they came and said, we need to finalize and formalize what's going on here so that we know what our rights are and nobody comes later and tries to take them away. And with a good reason, it's important that we update the documentation to match what's really on the ground. If we as an association wanted to and went and threw a fit and said, hey, you guys need to get those pipes off of our property and went to a lawsuit over it, they would win. We wouldn't. And so I think based on that and based on being good neighbors, I think it's time that we formalize an easement for those existing water lines so that everybody knows what's going on, the current owners as well as the association and the future owners. So what I proposed, and Mariah's kind of handled the communication, is if the Curtises can get a surveyor to give us a legal description, a centered line legal description of where the pipes are, then I think it's appropriate for the association who owns Lot 1 to grant an easement, a formal easement, to the Curtises and to those that use the water line, meaning the other Podunk users downstream. Because I think there's two water systems, is that correct?
Correct.
So we need to identify both of those, the location of the pipes for both of those systems, so that we can create a formal easement that can be recorded with the county. Then everybody knows what's going on and our paperwork matches what's really on the ground. The reason why that helps us as an association is that easement agreement is going to say, here is where the lines are. And if the line breaks, then the people who use it are going to be responsible to take care of it, fix it. The benefit to the owners are they now have a document that says we have the right to have our pipe run where it runs. And if it breaks, we have the right to come onto Lot 1 to fix it. So it's a benefit to everybody. And as I said, the pipes are already there. It's just a matter that's not on public record. So it's a matter of updating our documents to match what's on the ground. So conditioned upon getting a survey, identifying the actual location of the pipelines, then I propose that we as a board approve granting a formal easement to the water users and have this put behind us. Any questions?
No, but Barry, I do have a statement.
Okay.
I tested the water coming out of the spring on lot one, and there's no source protection fence around that spring, and so the water that's going into the system that the crams have is contaminated with E. coli. And so they need to know if they're drinking that water, it's at their own risk because there's no – there are cows and wildlife that are going right on top of the springs.
Well, in addition to granting the easement, we had a discussion a little bit with Kathy. Jeff, you're absolutely right. Whatever – whoever uses the water has to, it's buyer beware, it's on you. This is not an association guaranteed, it's not an association system, it's not, all we're doing is granting the, retroactively granting the right for the pipeline to be where it is. Any use has to be on the users, and what we also should do, in my opinion, based on the amendment to the bylaws that we adopted how many ever years ago it was, we should actually transfer the water right from the association to the users, just like we did on Meadow Canyon, so that it's so that crams and the Podunk users own that percentage of the water right and have the right to use it, and it's their responsibility to use it and maintain it at their own risk. That make sense?
I would like to bring up, I know that on our the finances that we were trying to put together, we did had mentioned the agriculture with the fencing, and I do think that we ought to put that, I think we put that on the back burner, but I think we need to address that and get that done so we don't have the cows up there this year. Now, Kurt, I don't know if you have been, is Kurt still on? Oh, he is. If you were able to get a hold of Alan or not, but I have not been able to reach him. He hasn't returned any of my calls, and we were supposed to get that initiated so we keep the cows out this year. Have you talked to him at all, Kurt?
I have not.
We might want to follow up on that, see if we can get that taken care of. We're supposed to have worked on that. They said they were going to have us a map by January, but I have not been able to get them to call back. So,
well, I think
I tried to get a hold of it, but I was unsuccessful.
I think it's important we keep moving forward on that as well as this easement issue to finalize these so that we're protecting property that belongs to the association as well as protecting the association against any potential liability from users and otherwise. So any objection? I would call for a motion to approve granting an easement conditioned upon getting a legal description of the pipe locations so that we can get that approved today if possible. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Kurt, do you mind seconding Kathy's motion?
I'll second it.
I second.
All right, we're going to go with Larry's second because Kurt was too slow on the draw. So, all in favor of granting this easement conditioned upon getting a legal description of the pipe locations, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Kurt. Sorry, Kurt. I didn't mean Kurt. Clint, do you have any idea where you're at in possibly getting identifying the location of the pipes so that we can get a legal description?
This first I've heard of that, so I'll have to look into that.
Okay, let me tell you what we need, and I don't know if you want to hire somebody or if the group out in Podunk wants to hire, I don't know how you want to handle that, but since you're going to be the beneficiary of an easement, I just need a center, what's called a center line survey that just says, this is where the pipe runs. I need that legal description in order to include it on the easement, and I'll take care of everything else as far as drafting the documents. And now that it's been approved, then we'll get it. Once we have that, we'll get it signed and then recorded so that it's a part of the record for your property.
Clint, Randy has kind of taken over on that water before you guys came out. And so my sister's sitting here, and she had said that they'd been working on that. So maybe Randy and you could get together and discuss that and see if we can find location on those. Okay?
I have. You provided us with the handwritten identification of where they go, but I need an actual legal description that's going to say, you know, at 98 degrees north by, you know, section 240 or whatever. I need all that crap in order to put it in the legal document.
Do you know of anybody that does that kind of thing? Because I have no idea who to even contact.
I know lots of people, but none that do much out at Deer Springs. Anybody have any surveys done recently out there?
The guys from Iron Rock here in Kanab go out there all the time.
That's probably your closest and cheapest option.
Clint, did you receive a hand-drawn map for that water system? Because I know there is one. Exists a hand-drawn map from the spring.
That's one that Val had done up.
Yeah.
And we've kind of been able to do a little bit with our GPS on our phones because Randy knows where they're at. So we might be able to go that route and save a little bit of money because I know that I talked to them about coming out, and they're kind of pricey coming out that far. So
however the easiest way is to get, you know, beginning at this point and running 27 feet this direction, whatever you need to do, I can't help you with that, but I can do the documents to make sure it gets formalized.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to the next issue. RV sites, who wants to take that one?
What about number 9? We skipping 9?
Oh, that's the one we're on. It's the RV site proposal number 9. Kurt, you want to talk about that? Larry, who wants to take that one on?
I can tell you what I know about it. I met with Kurt out there and looked at the site north of Cabin 6 along the ridge looking off into the well field, and then plotted a little simple map on Google Earth that would have a private driveway leaving the upper or the lower cabin road fairly close to where it crosses the county, it leaves the county road south of the airstrip and loops down along that side hill. The way I had drawn that, and I think most of the board members have seen that little drawing, it was drawn that way to allow a potential of 5 or 6 RV pads sometime in the future. I think right now we were talking about just doing 2 or 3 for work campers. Obviously, the septic system and leach field need to be downhill from the RV sites because, you know, stuff flows downhill. So I selected a site closer to Cabin 6. It's still quite a ways from Cabin 6, but south from the RV sites. The one thing we have to kind of avoid is the health department really does not like to see septic systems close to steep side hills, which obviously that side hill dropping from that ridge down into the well field is a very steep side hill. So I tried to put the septic system and leach field back away from the edge and still provide drainage from the potential RV sites basically flowing south to the septic system. That's in a fairly good location because it's not terribly far for water supply. I don't know if we talked about power or just running something off a solar trailer. I don't know for sure. Or if we're just relying on the RV people having their own solar power or generators. Kurt can speak to that. But he was going to talk with one of our members that's recently bought, Bart Batista, can do the perk tests. And Kurt talked to him last week, and I think they're in the process of scheduling when he could be out there and do a perk test and do the septic design. Anyway, that's kind of where we're at on that. I think everybody else had some questions or wanted to know more specifics about the overall cost and price, and I think Kurt's put everything on Google Docs if any of you have looked at that. But are you there, Kurt?
Kurt's having a hard time getting through, so he texted me and asked me to ask if the board received the email he forwarded from Bart Batista about the logistics of the septic system.
I have not seen anything from Bart.
Mariah, I have not seen anything forwarded from Kurt.
He's been having a lot of trouble. Yeah. He's been having a lot of trouble out there. I have the email. If the board would wish to for me to read it now, it's not very long. It's just a short paragraph. I can do that if you wanted to review that information at this time.
If it's short, I'd like for you to read it because I want to make a decision on this today if we can. While you're pulling up that email, Larry, can you give us an idea? And I'm not going to hold you to it, but any idea, any guesstimate as to what this, because what I foresee here is starting out with two sites that where we provide sewer and water, and that's it. The question is obviously the biggest cost is the septic system, and we want to make it big enough that it can serve the four or five services later on. But for the purposes of approval and everything else, I'd keep it at two. What's that going to cost us roughly to put in?
There's a big difference with septic systems. If you're doing a residence, a home, they count the bedrooms and bathrooms. But when you're talking about RVs, it's a lot different. I'm in the process of doing a system on a lot over in Slide Canyon that is specifically designed for three RVs, two of the owners, and then a guest RV dump. And when I worked with the county health gal, she initially was saying, wow, your system is way, way too big. And I said, well, they want to do this. And for future planning, at some point, somebody's going to build a cabin or a home on that lot. It's not just going to be RVs. But she was telling me I had really overbuilt the system. So I think a system on that location, obviously, we would put it in so that it could potentially handle five or six RVs. That's going to be about the same as a system that would be a residential home-type system. Cost-wise, I think we're looking at, you know, $7,500 for a septic system. And I just found out today that all septic tanks prices are jumping because storms in Texas or plants that produce the tanks, everything's going, blame it on COVID. Anyway, so if anybody's planning to do a system, do it soon.
I have that email. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead and read the email, and then I think we discuss it and make a decision.
Okay, sorry. Larry, really quick, just a reminder for me. I didn't catch what you said. How much did you say approximately? Did you say 7,000?
Yeah, on the high end.
Okay, I just wanted to get that in the minutes. Okay, the email from Bart responds, I recommend planning for the 5 to 6 sites. Design flow is 125 GPD per site, so 625 to 750 gallons wastewater flow rate. The minimum septic tank size is 1,000 gallons, so whether you do 3 or 6 sites, tank sizes remains the same. The only difference will be the length of your leach field. Whether you do perforated pipe or infiltrators, this is a nominal change in cost and probably worth it for the flexibility designing for 6 sites brings. And that's the end of the email.
Yeah. Well, so just for example, or to let you know, he's correct. The minimum tank size is 1,000 gallons. I'd say 80% of the systems I put in, we put in 1,250-gallon tanks, and I've done probably 6 or 7 that are 1,500-gallon tanks. A 1,250, I think, would be adequate. The tanks cost about $1 per gallon right now. Prices are subject to jump, but so that's not a big deal whether we go 1250 versus 1,000 or even to 1500 gallon tank for maximum holding. But it's the leach field. A tank, people don't understand, your septic tank is full from day one. When I finish installing it, or any other installer, when they finish, the tank is full. Before anybody flushes the toilet or takes a shower, the tank is full, and it remains full for its entire life. It just gets full with different stuff than what it's full with to begin with.
Good way to put it.
The leach field is what has all the holding capacity, whether you're going to put one RV in it, two RVs in it, or 10 RVs, that leach field gets longer and longer or potentially deeper for volume. And so the way I laid it out, there's plenty of room to do enough leach field for – and what we would do is we'd put in a – it's called a distribution box. Between the tank and the leach field, from that distribution box, we would probably install two leach field lines to begin with. The distribution box allows five lines. So a new line can be added at any time that we decide, hey, we're using three pads or four pads or five pads. Let's add additional leach field legs. Unless we do them like the Collins and they make us put all five in at the same time just because they know how full of, you know what, those guys are.
No, funny, Larry.
Are there any other questions? I think I'd like to call for a motion to approve this. As the benefit is, and I'm not a big believer in having RV sites for a bunch of people to use, but for work, for work trade people to come in and having a couple places off the beaten path, but available to people who really enjoy their RVs, I think it's worthwhile and it's definitely a benefit to the ranch. So as I've stated in meetings in the past, I think we need to squeeze this in as a project this year. And since prices are going up and that we buy the things we need so that as soon as the weather breaks, we can get started installing the septic system and connect up the water. I don't think we need to connect up power or solar or anything else. That's part of the fun of an RV is you get to have a generator and everybody's got one. So anyway,
the other thing is with the ranch backhoe, a big percentage of this can be done with Kurt or whoever's there. I don't have to install it. I mean, I can help. I can do part of it. But part of the system cost could be saved by the ranch installing it if and when as Kurt's time allows or whoever there at the ranch.
Good. Any other discussion before we have a vote?
I only have one comment to make on that. I'm in favor of doing this, but I don't want it to stop the progress on the rest of the cabins because of it. Because we still want to mouse-proof all the cabins, and we haven't even done but one. Well, down on the lower ones and one on the upper.
I agree with you. We still have to keep moving forward with the work that needs to be done. That's why I'm hoping that this might be done. This might be done as soon as the weather breaks, even or simultaneously with the cabin six and mouse-proofing and those kind of things that need to happen. So
we've got a lot of open projects, and that's what I'm concerned about. Yeah.
Speaking of open projects, how close are we to getting cabin seven all finished up?
We went out there and got pretty much everything done. There's a couple of little items that need to be done. Kurt can't get to the patios and to the deck until he gets the backhoe. So that's kind of been put on. And then we've got six propane lamps, and they are starting to darken the soot on the ceiling. So we're trying to figure an approach to handle that, and that shouldn't take very much time at all. So just very minute stuff. It's stuff that we got everything else completed that we could. Mike came up and helped, and Scott was there.
so we were able to get quite a bit done.
Are the lights not burning correctly, or is that just the way propane lights are?
There's two of them that are a little bit higher than the rest of them, and it would have taken a lot to bring them down. And so I've been doing some – we've had a couple of ideas. Mike had an idea of putting some ceramic on the back part and the top, and Kurt says he's got a drill bit for ceramic that we could drill that if we go that route. Brent had mentioned there's some decorative metal plates, just thin plates, and it's up high enough that I read the information on it, and they said 4 to 6 inches, and it withstands the heat. But that's a lot easier to wipe down on the ceramic or the metal than it is trying to fix the wood, because it's starting to it's nothing like what it was when Paul was burning it all winter long, so he didn't have to change out the pipes. And so it's nothing like that, but it does have a little bit of soot on the ceiling part.
I got a question on that, not a question, but a comment. When I built my cabin, I was buying my propane lights from Humphreys, and the first question they asked me was, what was my altitude? Because they put the right orifice in for the right altitude so it won't sit up and cause that problem.
So who do we contact?
Find out what the manufacturer's name on the gas lights. Call that company and tell them you're at, in that area, cabin 7, around 6,500 feet. You want to buy an orifice for that altitude.
Kurt, can you do that? That's more of a maintenance thing than a remodel thing. Can you do that for us?
Company fee still.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Kurt.
Okay, let's refocus back on RV pads and make a decision on this. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll motion that we move forward with it.
Anybody second?
I will second it. I'm partially involved, and I made the comment about saving the ranch money by having Kurt do it, but I know he's busy with other things, so I am financially involved if you're paying me to do part of it, so I should probably at least acknowledge that or abstain from.
Larry, we'll work it out.
Why don't you abstain on this one, because I think it's fairly likely you're going to be involved.
I'll go ahead and second it.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, let the record reflect Larry abstained on that, because I think in order to keep projects moving forward, then there's a high likelihood that we're going to need some help that we're going to have to pay for, and we don't want to have any problems with that. Okay, anything else before we go into each of our areas of expertise? And I say that very, very, very broadly. All right, I will go ahead. There's a couple things that I wanted on here in my area, and for reasons that will become apparent in a few minutes, then we'll have to discuss those. I talked to Dirk Clayson and my brother-in-law, who used to be the county commissioner. He asked if we had seen any road maintenance on the Meadow Canyon Road recently by the county, and I told him I was not aware of any. Is that correct, or am I up in the night?
I think John Harris might have
They graded last fall.
They did grade it last fall, Kurt.
Summer. Yes. They graded last year.
Okay.
In the summer they did.
I think we just need to remind them each year to make sure that happens so that we get on their schedule, because obviously that's free maintenance and help that we don't have to worry about. And along with that, I had wanted to, and I still want to see it happen, but I think it's important that we create some type of a restroom around the fish pond areas. And since we're since we're allowing the county access along the Meadow Canyon Road, I thought it'd be a good idea if I approached them, and I haven't done this. I wanted approval of the board first, but I wanted to approach them and say, why don't you guys help contribute to either the construction or maintenance of a bathroom facility? Because as people drive up and down there, it's not in anybody's best interest that they have to stop on the side of the road or find somewhere else to go to the bathroom. And let's face it, those places are far and few between. So I think it would benefit the county, their crew, and our members to have something there. Does anybody object to me talking to whoever I can find at the county about possibly funding a portion of the construction and or maintenance of a bathroom facility at or around the fish ponds?
I think it's a great idea.
I'd say go ahead.
Great idea.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and again, I can't make any promises, but I'm going to talk to the person I have contact with and see if I can't convince them that there's a benefit to them helping us out financially with construction or maintenance and see if we can make that happen.
Hey, Barry?
Yeah.
Barry? Okay, I'm just trying to see if you guys would hear me. I tried to get through there, and this thing keeps jumping back from muted to unmuted. So, anyway.
We can hear you well, but while we have you, why don't you tell us if you have anything else in your area that you'd like to discuss, John?
Okay, well, to answer your question on the, did the county come through there and grade? Yes, they did last summer. And I don't know what all I'm going to have to do, until I get up there. I assume I'm going to have a mess, but, Larry, do I have any, gravel left up there?
Yes. Yep. Yep, you have a pile, and by the time snow melts and the mud dries, you'll have a big pile.
Okay, super. Well, I guess I don't have anything until I can get up there and see what needs to be done. Let me back off a little. I got one thing. The association owns some lots out there, and I had a proposal, kind of a semi-proposal North Church, sometimes when Larry can't get the things, I hire him. And I was talking to him here a while back, and he suggested, and I said that I would bring it up to the board, that if he would be willing to maintain the roads for a lot. And of course I know we would have to get it all worked out, but he gave the idea that if we have a lot up there that we could give to him, deed to him, that he would maintain our roads.
Well, that's definitely something we can evaluate and see the feasibility of it. That would save a big chunk of our budget every year. So it's definitely something worth exploring. I mean, obviously, at this point, the four lots that the association owns, we wouldn't be interested in partying with those. But from time to time, when assessments are not made, then we have the opportunity to recover lots, and that might be the way to make it happen, or somebody can negotiate with my dad or otherwise to try to come up with a win-win situation to make that happen. So
it doesn't take long to get about $15,000 worth of work on a road, as you know, and right. Larry can tell you that too. And so, if we traded him a lot of some kind, we would have to figure out how many years guarantee that he'd be willing to do that for that, and to what extent.
Okay, well,
that's all I have. I thought I'd better throw that out and let everybody start thinking on it.
Perfect. I appreciate it, John. Kathy, you have anything else to add in your area?
No, we had kind of mentioned about, I think Dale was talking. Dale, go ahead.
No, this is Michael Jordison.
Oh, Michael, sorry, it says Dad.
Yeah. I have a question on the fish ponds and the bathrooms. If the county has a stake in that, does that open that area up for anybody to use?
Not unless, and we do have to be very careful in that discussion, not unless we agree to it, which I wouldn't. I mean, we have agreed in the past to, in exchange for them maintaining the road, that will allow them to pass on the Meadow Canyon Road. That's already a deal that's in place. People, members of the community use the road, and without locking the fences, then I don't think we can keep them. I just think that it's better to have something there as far as a bathroom facility rather than the alternative. But I would not be interested in opening it up as a public playground or anything else. It would be restricted to county personnel. There's not going to be an easy way to enforce that, but I would make clear in the agreement that this does not constitute a public offering or something else that makes it more open than just to the members.
That was my only thing I wanted to bring up, is just the possibility if they have a stake, you know, they're using that area.
Yep. No, I agree with you. We need to be very careful that we make that clear.
Thank you.
Mary, another question is, would they put a septic in, or would they just go ahead and do a hole right there by the pond?
That's up to us to decide. And as of right now, we've talked about just a hole, but if they participate financially, it may make it more feasible to put in a septic and some water rather than just a Forest Service type of bathroom facility.
There's nothing currently even.
Yeah, that might not be real cool around the ponds. I'd be my only concern is if they did a hole, it being an issue.
No, where
it's a contained vault. It's a vault toilet.
Okay.
I have a question. If you put a restroom near the pond, wouldn't that welcome non-members to wander in to use the facilities? They see the ponds and then start fishing in our ponds.
Well, I think you have the people there whether you like it or not. It's just a matter of whether they go behind a bush or not. I don't think anybody's going to drive the road just to be able to use the bathroom, but it's certainly something that we have to be aware of. You have a lot of people traveling that just don't have anywhere else to go, mostly members that are trying to recreate in the pond area. And when I say the pond area, I'm not talking necessarily about right next to the pond. It might be 100 yards or 200 yards away. I don't know. I haven't really put a lot of thought into it yet. I just think that we need a facility somewhere close so that our members, while they're fishing and while they're playing or having family reunions, aren't using a stinky porta potty that looks bad or having to run back to the cabins. So.
I just thought if non-members were driving past and saw the facility, they would pull in and see the ponds and just help themselves.
I think there's always some chance of that, unfortunately. So, something to think about. All right, Kathy, anything else from you?
Well, even when we porta potty with that.
I think we have that issue regardless of whether we have a porta potty or nothing, or if we had something that's a little nicer and a little cleaner and a little less smelly. Joe, it's your turn. Anything on your area you want to bring up?
Nothing new, no.
Okay. John, we've heard from Mike. Anything else that you'd like to throw in?
No, I was up a couple of weeks ago. I spent a week up at the ranch helping Kurt on Cabin 6, and he's been doing a great job. You know, I would just commend him for taking the initiative to really get that project going and hopefully get it done soon. And then last weekend I went up and helped Kathy on Cabin 7, and that one, like we talked about earlier, we're about 99.9% done. And the biggest thing that needs to be completed are the decks. And I know Kurt has that on his to-do list.
And then finally, I'm going to be retiring officially next month in April, and I'm looking forward to spending a lot more time at the ranch this year.
Awesome.
That's great news. All right, Larry, anything else from you?
I wanted to clarify the decks on Cabin 7. We're waiting on Kurt, and Kathy said he's waiting on the backhoe, but I think she meant the Kubota or something. What's
that? Is true. I did mean the Kubota.
Okay.
So but I think we need to – that was one of the things I did want to bring up. I think it's a safety issue and that we need to probably have it done before we rent them. It was brought to my attention by a couple of people that there was some that was close to falling and some of the spindles have come off, and I just think that we better get that done before we rent them.
Is that something we should go ahead and just hire somebody to get done where Kurt's tied up?
Well, he's going to have to wait till we get the Kubota anyway, but I don't know. Kurt, you're the one that should answer that one.
You should have done them sideways. Like, gosh.
I got everything is cut. The post. Hello, I'm here. Okay, so the posts are all cut. The rails are all cut. Everything, all the material is sitting there at Cabin 7. And I just need the Kubota to dig the holes because it's so hard packed in there.
Yes.
Okay, well let's continue forward.
As soon as I get the Kubota
back as quick as we can and get that done, because I don't suppose we have an alternate way.
As soon as I get the Kubota, that deck is a priority.
What size holes are you drilling for the posts?
10 inch by about 3 feet.
Okay, I'll try to see if I can come up with an auger to drill them.
Yeah, I was going to get Norris Church was going to let me use his or somebody's Bobcat and auger, but he's in Mexico till the 18th. But that deck will be done in like a day and a half.
Okay.
All right, let's see what we can do. If there's nothing further, anything anybody wants to bring up before we schedule the next meeting? All right. Looks like we don't. I wanted to let everybody know that I've let the board know as of the end of this meeting that I'm resigning from the board. I've come to a situation in my life where I have to focus on some other things, so hopefully not leaving everybody hanging. I'm happy to still help to the extent I can, but I'm going to have to resign from the board. And based on the executive session that we had before this meeting, Mike McNichols will be taking over as the new president. So I appreciate the opportunity to work with you guys, and hopefully I haven't pissed everybody off too badly, but we'll figure it out. What do we have for a date for our next meeting?
Barry, thanks for your service. You've done an awesome job.
Thank you. It really has been fun.
I've been waiting 2 years for this.
I'm sure I'm like a toothache that just won't go away.
No, you've done a great job, Barry. I couldn't have asked for anybody better.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, Mariah, what are we looking at for schedule?
Friday, April 9th.
Friday, April 9th. By the way, by April, in light of the latest snow, I was thinking in April we'd have a meeting back at the ranch, but it's probably still going to be too cold and too mushy. So I think, again, I'm speaking for you rather than myself, but we probably should still schedule it as a Zoom meeting on Friday evening rather than at the ranch still until it dries out a little bit more. Is everybody in agreement?
Yes.
I think that's the safe thing to do.
So, let's plan on that Friday, a 4:30 executive meeting and a 5 o'clock board meeting. And Mariah, if you wouldn't mind sending out a notice to the board and to the members, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that's it. Unless there's any other comments, then it was a great meeting with you guys and great working with you. And I'll look forward to seeing you out at the ranch somewhere.